Welcome back to the Honeycoat Awards podcast. This is your host, Emma, and today we are going to be reading through John, continuing our series of a read through John, the Gospel of John. We are actually going to be reading through John chapter 5 and chapter 6 this episode. We're probably going to be combining 2 or 3 from now on. It just is going to kind of depend, 2 or 3 chapters every episode from now on, just because there are like 21 chapters here, and I feel like we can fit a couple of more chapters instead of just doing one chapter an episode, unless a chapter is pretty long. But if you do not know how this is going to work, if you just happen to click on this specific episode, what we're going to be doing is really easy. You're just going to be reading through John, and you can do this listening in the car, you can do this listening at work, you can grab a Bible and read along as I read. I encourage, if you're able, to have a journal next to you, because we are going to be going through a reflection time, and it's always great to be able to reflect, have a journal, write things down. If you're not able to use a journal, you can just reflect in your mind. So let's go ahead and open us up in prayer. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity that you have given me to speak your word freely in America, Lord. I pray for the government, Lord, and the people higher up, Father, that you would change their hearts and miraculously bring a revival in the government, Father. I ask that you would just change the hearts of those who are walking in darkness, and you would bring people filled with light in your love and your word to minister to these people so that we can change the face of this government, Lord, which you have blessed. Father, I thank you, and I ask that the people hearing this would have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to receive, so that they may see, hear, and know you for who you truly are, God. I thank you once again for today, and I pray that the words spoken during this podcast episode would speak to the hearts of these people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, we are going to be starting with John chapter 5, the healing at the pool on the Sabbath. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has 5 roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew he had been there already a long time. And he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed, and he walked. Now that day was on the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "Is it the Sabbath, and is it not lawful for you to take up your bed?" But he answered him, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said this to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who he was, for Jesus had withdrawn, as there was a crowd in the place. After, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." Jesus is equal with God. This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. The authority of the Son. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life.
Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Witnesses to Jesus. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony that I received is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. For the works of the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hopes. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Chapter 6. Jesus feeds the 5,000. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him, because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread, so that these people may eat?" He said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So when the men sat down, about 5,000 in number, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves, and left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the signs that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Jesus walks on water. When evening came, Jesus' disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed for about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the water and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. I am the bread of life. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had only been one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." When they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered him, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from the heaven and gives life to the world." He said to them, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing in all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on that last day." So the Jews grumbled about him, because he had said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed amongst themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks on my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he will also live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. The words of eternal life. When many of his disciples heard this, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And Jesus said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil." He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. Now that we have finished John chapter 5 and chapter 6, we are going to go through our reflection time. Once again, if this is your first time, our reflection time is super simple and sweet. We will be using the SOAP method. If you haven't heard of that and you don't know what it is, each letter stands for something. S is scripture. So you're going to be writing a scripture down that stood out to you. If you can't write it down, just think of the scripture.
ask the Lord to reveal a scripture that you had just read or listened to that you need to reflect on. O stands for observation, and what that means is we're going to be looking at the scripture or scriptures that you have written down or are thinking of, and we're going to be observing things about them. What is the Lord trying to tell you through the scripture? What was he trying to tell his disciples? Are there things that you need to work on and you're being convicted of? Is the Lord ministering to a broken part of your heart? You know, whatever it is, observe it. Take your time to think about it, write it down, and to look at it. Ask the Lord to bring up anything that he is trying to teach you. The next is A, and that's application. You're going to write or think about how you can use this verse to apply to your life. How can you use this verse to correct anything that needs to be corrected in your life? How can you use this verse to walk in the way that God has for you? It's really not complicated. If you can't figure it out, that's okay. Write it down or just come back to it in your thoughts or in your journal. Pray about it throughout the day and ask the Lord. The last one is P, and that's prayer. And you can just sit in a quiet place if you're able to. Or as you're working, just pray, have that time with the Father and that intimate connection with him, and just nurture that relationship and take your time. Write down a prayer if you have your journal, or you can do both. Turn on some worship music and just sit and allow the Lord to speak to you. Make sure you are also listening and not just speaking, because the Lord already knows all that you need. He really wants you to intently listen to him, because in that is where we receive our correction and the love of the Father and that instillment of his peace. So we will be starting on S, and that is scripture. So some music is going to play in between each of these, and that just signals that this is when you're going to be working on this specific, letter. Obviously, the music isn't long enough really to be able to reflect on this. You can, of course, pause it whenever you need to and take however much time you need and then move on to the next. So S, scripture, go ahead and write or think about a scripture that you feel like the Lord is bringing up. Now for the second part of our reflection time is O, and that is observation. So now you're going to think of the scripture like how I said before. You're going to write it down or simply reflect on it and just observe what's going on here. You know, what could maybe the disciples be thinking of or feeling? What's the Lord trying to tell you? And now for application. So you're going to be thinking about, once again, or writing down how you can apply this verse to your life. Take all the time that you need and really dive deep into this with the Lord. I can't tell you how amazing it is to reflect and be able to journal, or once again, just reflect in your mind throughout the day on things and asking the Lord questions. I mean, just the other day, I was actually journaling, and I wrote down a very simple question, and from that came the Lord showed me a root of pain that needed to be pulled up and out. And I cried because it was so profound for me. And it was something that I was struggling with and didn't even really realize where that root had come from. And it was just from a simple question I asked the Lord. And he walked me through this really special, intimate time. And through that showed me a root that needed to be dealt with. And I ended up doing self-deliverance and ministry, and that root got pulled out, and it was absolutely amazing. So it doesn't have to be anything complicated, really. Just ask the Lord where you want this special time between you and him to go. And the last one, P, prayer. So you're going to, like how I said earlier, just get into a quiet space or moment. If you're working and you're not able to necessarily get somewhere quiet, that's fine. You know, if you want to wait or do it then when you're working, that's also fine. Just really take some time to speak to your Father and ask him,
his will for your life, or just talk to him like he's your best friend, because in reality, there doesn't need to be a script that you have when you're talking to your father. He knows and cares about every single part of you, and he wants to have access to every part of your heart so that he can bring restoration and healing to it. And that is it for this week's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are going to be continuing our series of John, reading through the Gospel of John next week. There are 21 chapters in John, I believe. Let me see. Yes, sorry. There are 21 chapters in John, and so we are going to be combining a few chapters, most likely, if not in every episode, for quite a few episodes, just so that we can get through John, because after John, we are going to be going through a different series, and I'm really excited about that. So, thank you for tuning in. Like how I said earlier, there will be, if you're listening on Spotify, there's going to be a question down below the episode that you can answer, or a poll that you can answer. And this is just another way to connect with you guys, just connect with the community and just kind of see where everyone's at. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. I will see you guys on the next episode. Have a blessed day.